Hey, hello, and welcome to a very raspy voice episode of a Colts podcast presented by Sports Illustrated and Horseshoe Huddle. My name's Brandon, and I'm joined here by your co-host, my best friend, Andrew Moore. It's time to bathe ourselves of that loss, shake it out a little bit, forget about it and move on to this. Should be an absolutely terribly easy football game against the Houston Texans. But before we dig into that, brother, how are you doing? How are you feeling?
Feeling good, man. It's time. You're right. It is time to move on. It's on to the Texans. And I think this is the Colts can get back on track. This is the last game before the Colts bye week, which is desperately needed, I feel like. Get some guys healthy. We should be able to kind of reset for that spin. But the Colts still can't take this Texans team lightly. While they beat them 30 earlier in the year, the Texans just Titans, and the Titans battling for the number one seed in the AFC. So if they take this team too lightly, they're going to have a shock on their hands. But I'm excited to preview the game. How are you feeling? You're a little under the weather this week.
Listen, I never, ever get sick. I might have a little cold here and there sometimes, but just not like sick. And in the last month and a half, I have had what I'm quite certain was the flu. And then this sore throat and congestion thing the last couple of days from hell. I have not enjoyed myself this cold season at all. But I feel better. I feel fine. I still sound a little sick, but I feel tremendously better. Everybody go make sure to follow us at A Colts Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Let's get a big push. If you don't have a Twitter, get a Twitter. Go follow us. Why not? Literally, no big pushes lately in followers. Looking to bump those numbers up. Leave a review on Apple. Subscribe, you know, on the podcast. Subscribe. Do all the things, all the social media, YouTube, what have you. But, yeah, I'm ready to dig into this game, Andrew. Like we said, it's time to move on. Colts Twitter has just – until we started doing this podcast, I had no idea how toxic that place was. my goodness. And the disagreeing – on, you know, the philosophy on Frank Reich. I mean, just that whole game in general, people just want to be mad at something. And when they're mad at the wrong thing and somebody tells them why they're mad at the wrong thing, even if there's factual evidence against it, they don't care. They don't want to hear it. Not going to make a difference. So I've given up, but time to move on against a questionable Houston Texans team with a better quarterback than we played last time. And guess what? He's got some legs on him, something we struggle with. So we definitely need to bring our A game. And I think, you know, I think this should be an easy win. I think this game is going to be, and we'll just dive right into it here. You know what? No, first. Colts are minus 475, Texans plus 350. The spread is 9.5, over under 45. Hammer the over. Again, hammer the over. The Colts might score it themselves. But yeah, we're going to dig right into it, Andrew. Run pass balance. And I think this game is another Buffalo Bills type game for Jonathan Taylor.
I actually think it's going to be more balanced. I think that while we're not going to be as pass happy as the Colts were, or the as more pass driven as they were last week against Tampa Bay, I don't see it being like Buffalo, where we constantly pound the ball with Jonathan Taylor. Because as you remember, in that first game against the Texans earlier this year, the Colts really killed the Texans with the deep ball, because the Texans were playing such easy coverage. And the Texans really, even though Lovie Smith is the defensive coordinator, they don't really disguise a lot of things. And that opens things up, makes it very easy for Carson Wentz to dissect the defense. And it makes it very easy for T.Y. Hilton, a guy we're going to talk about next, to really see here's what coverage they're in. And now here's a guy that finds the soft spots in the zone and can really take advantage. So Carson Wentz last game against Houston, he only had 11 completions, but it was for 223 yards and 2 touchdowns. So I fully expect the Colts offense, especially the passing offense, to really take advantage. And then once the Colts do get out to a big lead, then I can see a heavy dose of Jonathan Taylor, who had 145 yards and 2 touchdowns in that game in October. And Matt, kind of to what you were saying, last week, or not last week, kind of what you're saying earlier about how you getting in with Colts Twitter. He said that he had someone tell him that if we don't get Taylor 30 touches a game, it's a failure by the coaching staff. And that would average out to be a 510 touches
too many
in a season. Absolutely absurd number of touches. I don't think
not everybody has to get Derrick Henry touches to be Derrick Henry successful.
Exactly. And the thing is, Jonathan Taylor still, like, Derrick Henry has been out almost a month now. Jonathan Taylor still has less carries than Derrick Henry, and he has almost 300 yards more.
That's because Jonathan Taylor can't handle those carries. His legs would fall right off.
It's absolutely absurd. So you see that. And it doesn't need to be a huge rushing presence or a huge passing presence. I really think it should be balanced. I think the Colts, they want to aim for about 60-40 pass to run. And I think that's when Frank Reich says they're at their best. And I could very well see that. I could even see it being around 50-50, how it was in the Jets game, where it was that 50-50 split. But I really don't see it going too far one way, just because the Colts can attack this Texans defense in more ways than one. They don't just have to focus in on that one group. So it keeps that defense off balance, keeps both areas, the running game and the passing game, pretty fresh. And the Colts can really dominate that way.
Stats Matt. I want you to change your username on YouTube to Stats Matt. But he makes a good point. First game was Wentz was over 20 a completion, Taylor over 10 a rush. I'm not saying the carry amount necessarily needs to be what it was against the Bills. I just think it's going to be a Jonathan Taylor success day like that, and it's going to turn into feeding the hot hand kind of situation. Also, Frank got a little, we'll call it what it is, emotional, I think, this week in a press conference. Not in a sad cry way, but in a, listen here, fans, I know what you're all saying. I know what the media is saying. Here's the numbers for you. And I mean, he just slapped the shit out of us with some statistics, right? And he goes, you know, if we win this football game, everybody's talking about how well the passing game, the ball was getting moved down the field. So, you know, I wouldn't put it past him, kind of like after the Jacksonville game. He said, you want him to run the ball? Here you go. He's going to run the ball, and he's going to run with success. So maybe not the balance. In regards to the balance being quite as heavy as it was in the Bills game, but I do see Jonathan Taylor having a big game and a multiple touchdown game for sure.
Well, the thing is, too, I mean, I from the educated and the guys in the media that I trust, they really weren't calling Frank Reich out saying that Jonathan Taylor should have been used.
Mike Wells, probably.
Your buddy Mike Wells was on that train.
Couldn't tell you because I'm blocked on Twitter.
But anyways, it was more of the Colts fans that were talking about that. And I kind of explained that. And I even show if anyone read my Wednesday article, all those film clips, and it showed the RPOs that Wentz checked out of and was able to pass. Frank Reich said that in the third quarter, during that 26 straight pass stretch, they had 15 of the 15 first and second down plays.
Yeah.
Eight of those were designed to get Jonathan Taylor the ball.
Three of them were passes. Went for 7 yards a pass or something like that.
Three of them were passes. Five of them were runs. And along those runs, a lot of them were RPOs. And on those RPOs, Carson Wentz was averaging 7 yards a throw, which if you're getting 7 yards a carry, you're thinking that's astonishing. But getting 7 yards a throw, it's still the same way. So, yeah. And on those, the Tampa Bay was just running so many different run blitzes. And they were stacking 7-8 men in the box every single time. And you saw Carson Wentz make those quick moves, get it out to Kylan Granson and guys like Michael Pittman. He hit a couple to Zach Pascal. Carson Wentz was making the correct reads. Bruce Arians said after the game, nobody runs on us. And they were bound and determined to stop Jonathan Taylor and make Carson Wentz beat him. And he almost did. He really almost did. So I still don't understand it. I'm glad we're moving on and going to the Texans. But all this Frank Reich hate, I mean, in this first season with Carson Wentz as his quarterback, his fourth straight year with a different starting quarterback, the Colts are fourth in the league in scoring. It's just a great job by Frank Reich and this entire offensive coaching staff. I mean, they put 31 points up on the defending champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, it's a good defense, yeah, too. That's the third most points the Buccaneers have given up this year. I think it was the Rams.
And the Cowboys?
Not the Cowboys. Cowboys scored 29. I think it was...
Is that all they scored that first game of the year?
Yeah, it was like 31-29.
I felt like it was a shootout.
But the Saints, I think, scored 36 or something on all those turnovers that Brady had.
Yeah.
But you can see where I'm getting at is the offense wasn't what cost the game. It was all the turnovers that cost the game, and that's plain and simple. Oh, yeah. And real quick, before we move on, Mike Chappell had a hell of a stat this week that when the Colts have 5 turnovers or more, they're 2-21 since 1984. You don't win games with 5 turnovers. I don't care if you run the ball or pass the ball. You're just not going to win in the NFL like that.
Darius said the same thing. He goes, we can't win a football game when you have 5 turnovers. And it almost felt like he was taking a jab at the offense a little bit at one point. But he said 5 turnovers and 2 pass interference calls. So he took a jab at the defense as well. But, yeah, I mean, it's almost an insurmountable option. I'd be willing to – I want to see a stat on the NFL, the entire NFL, the league in the NFL. You know, the numbers there. Stats, Matt. Bet you can't find it. T.Y.
That's a hard one to find.
T.Y. Houston, goodbye game, Andrew.
It might be. It really might. I mean, nothing concrete, and T.Y. hasn't said anything.
Au revoir to his favorite stadium.
It almost kind of feels that way just because, yeah. I mean, number one, he talked about retirement when he had his neck issue when he was coming back from that. He said it really, really weighed heavy on him, and he really considered it. And then you throw in the fact that he has had 2 more injuries this year. He's only played 5 games total, and he just hasn't been a huge part of the offense like he used to be. And while we all love T.Y. Hilton and we see him out there and he can still get it done, you still see him getting open against zone coverage. And he got his first touchdown of the year last week against Tampa Bay. But it seems like we're finally nearing the end. And it's kind of hard to ignore that he's no longer the top target for this offense.
Yeah.
Now, I think this week possibly could change it. I mean, he could be the top target this week just because, I mean, we're in Houston, Energy Stadium, T.Y. Hilton's second home, the place where he went in with the clown mask and absolutely dominated the Houston Texans.
You think he breaks out the clown mask again?
I don't think so. He said that was a one-time thing and the clown mask will never come out. That'd be awesome. I could see him wearing something else or having something, a cool backpack, something like that. But this very well could be the last time we see T.Y. Hilton, at least in a Colts uniform, going up against the Houston Texans in Houston. So, and I do think that the Colts will probably try to get him the ball. They know how he is against Houston. I mean, the game previous this season.
They probably had 4 to 5 defensive coordinators throughout the time
he's been playing this team.
It doesn't matter who it is.
No, and the last game, I mean, he had 4 catches for 80 yards, and that was his first game back. He averaged 20 yards a reception. So if the Texans are going to continue to play that kind of coverage, T.Y. Hilton is still going to absolutely dominate. And the thing is, when the Colts shifted to the running game against Houston in October, I mean, that pretty much just took T.Y. Hilton out of it. He had 80 yards and almost a half. So when you're talking about that, I could see T.Y. Hilton going over 100 yards. And like I said, he got his first touchdown. Seems like finally, since he's getting some consecutive weeks together, him and Carson Wentz are starting to form that bond, form a little bit better chemistry. And if that defense tries to shift things over to Michael Pittman Jr., you know T.Y. Hilton is absolutely going to dominate. So I do expect a big game out of T.Y. Hilton. And I think it's not going to be his best game against Houston. I think you are going to see some vintage T.Y. Hilton on Sunday carving up that Houston secondary.
Let's see. Matt says he sees Taylor around 18 rushes, 150 yards, 2 touchdowns. Hines, 6 rushes, 45 yards. Wentz, 18 completions for 250 and 2 tutters and a defensive touchdown. That's 5 touchdowns there. I think T.Y., he says T.Y., 100 yards and a touchdown. I think T.Y. has 2 tutters this week. I think him and Taylor can both pull off 2 tutters this week. It feels like you said, it feels like it's his last time that he's going to be there. I think he's going to retire at the end of the year. I think he's done. I do not think he goes to play for another team. I don't know who would want him necessarily. Maybe a Rams. Maybe he would go play for a Super Bowl contender like a Rams. Or a Bucks, if Tom's still there, you know what I mean? I don't know. They've got so many weapons. I don't know if he could find a home in a place like that. But
I know Baltimore was interested in him this offseason. Yeah. Kansas City was interested in him.
Ooh, Green that's Bay. Another one that could be good.
Green Bay
I like that.
Had inquired about T.Y. Hilton in his free agency. So, I mean, if he does want to go chase a ring, I don't blame him, because T.Y. Hilton, the player that he is, he should have deserved a long playoff run. And while they got to the AFC Championship in 2014, it should have been more long playoff runs with him and Andrew Luck. So I would completely understand and wish him all the best, but I'm not, after this season and him being with the Colts another year and how much he is considering retirement at this point, I don't know how likely it would be for him to go to another team. And I just don't think the Colts are going to bring him back again this offseason. I think this probably is his last season in Indianapolis. And if he decides to retire or go elsewhere, I think that'll probably be his two options.
Yeah, I think it'd be a real Reggie Wayne feel. He goes somewhere and maybe he does a little bit of a training camp and goes, I don't think so. I don't think this is right. What I'm going to stick it out and do. Like we said earlier, Tyrod Taylor is playing this week. We did not have to deal with him our last go-round with Houston. How much of a difference do you think Tyrod Taylor can make for the Houston Texans this week?
I think he will pose a little bit of a challenge for Indianapolis. I mean, because Davis Mills was a rookie quarterback, obviously not the most mobile guy back there for Houston, but Tyrod Taylor does present that element where he does tend to take care of the football a little bit more, definitely more experienced than the rookie, but you are right that he can use his legs to kind of evade the pressure in the pocket, kind of skid outside the pocket and make some plays. So I think it will make a little bit of a difference, but we when we're talking about this Houston team compared to how they were in October, we also kind of have to look at this Colts defense. The Colts pass rush has gotten considerably better, in my opinion, since that game in October. I mean, Kwity Paye has three straight games with a sack. DeForest Buckner was applying pressure up the middle to Tom Brady. So you're starting to see, well, it's definitely not where the Colts want it to be.
Yeah.
You're starting to see more out of this pass rush. And you see guys like Kenny Moore has started to play better. Darius Leonard, it seems like he's starting to get healthier with that ankle. And I think him more than anybody is wanting this bye to come and so he can rest for a week. So he can really get treatment around the clock for two straight weeks on that ankle and finally get it 100% towards a stretch run. I think Sunday was actually the first time that I thought Darius Leonard looked 100% to me or he close played great to football. He played great football, had another turnover, had 15 tackles. The tackling machine that Darius Leonard is hasn't really been there this year just because he's been laboring with that ankle. But he was absolutely dominant on Sunday, besides maybe in the passing game when he let Rob Gronkowski get behind him on the scene. But as far as running game and what we're used to seeing Darius do, we pretty much saw that. So this defense is playing better, I would say. The stars definitely are. And another factor is Kari Willis could possibly be back this week. That would be such a big boost to the Colts secondary because I really hope this probably isn't going to happen. The Colts are probably going to disappoint me and keep Andrew Sandejo out there, but I would really hope that the Colts would leave George Odom in, put him over at free safety once Kari comes back and takes his regular spot at strong safety. But I think this Colts defense, while it's playing a little bit better, will kind of offset what Tyrod Taylor brings to the table at quarterback for the Texans.
Stats Matt at it again. This is crazy. Houston beat Tennessee with only 200 yards of offense because of four interceptions and a fumble by Tennessee. Our defense is better than Tennessee, so hard to believe Houston can have much success on offense. That's fair.
Hey, there's five turnovers. Five turnovers again by a team, you lose the game. So it doesn't matter who it is, you're going to lose when you have five turnovers in a game.
Well, and I don't know. I don't know how good Houston's defense, though, is against – or not Houston. Tennessee's defense is against mobile quarterbacks, though, and containing, because we are just not. I think the biggest threat that they have is going to be Tyrod's legs, and then the threat of that is going to create some openings down the field for guys like Brandon Cooks. There it is. Okay, here we go. Figure it out. had a little hair distracting me. What was I going to say? because, you know, you only went over 15 subjects in one spiel there. Darius, did you see him when he with that last punch out? I didn't actually get to see this quite as well during the game, but in Hard Knocks, they showed that punch out in his wrist. Like we talked about, it looked like bent in a little bit. I'm like, that's what you got to worry about. We talked about that the other day. Other thing, you're talking about the secondary. I don't know. I didn't really look at the timestamp on the tweet, but Julian Blackman tweeted, I swear it was during the game after we took a lead. He goes, all right, I'm going to the stadium. I can't take this anymore. And he was on the sideline in the second half. I think he really did go show up at halftime and went back out on the field with the team. Hilarious.
He was there and he was on the sideline because when Isaiah Rodgers got his interception, Julian Blackman greeted him over there on the sideline. Yeah. And that's really the first time we've seen Julian Blackman back on the sideline with the Colts since his injury. So it is good to have him back there. One thing I forgot to mention, even though I kind of covered everything on that side of the ball, is the running game for the Texans as well. I mean, they've got some big names back there, like David Johnson and Rex Burkhead, but it doesn't seem like they have had much success running the ball. And I don't really remember how they were running the ball in October.
Yeah, Mark Ingram then.
They did have Mark Ingram, and I thought Mark Ingram had some decent gains against the Colts. But if their run defense can step back up and be how it normally is, rather than letting like Leonard Fournette.
Our defense had just not had it together at that point in the season yet.
Right. And if as long as the Colts don't let like David Johnson run for 100 yards and 4 TDs like they did Leonard Fournette, if you turn the Texans into a one-dimensional team where they have to rely on Tyrod Taylor's arm, it's going to be a very easy victory because Tyrod Taylor isn't going to go out there and throw for 350 yards and 4 TDs and lead a team to victory. He's more of a game manager. He needs the game to be more balanced for him. And when they become more one-dimensional, I think the Colts can really tee off on him, especially with that Houston offensive line, which really hasn't been good for some time.
Yeah, this is we do not deserve to make a playoff run if we lose this football game. I mean, we just don't. We don't deserve it. You know, so we got to win this football game, and we've done it all year. We've handled the bad teams. So I'm hoping and assuming we will do that again this weekend. Andrew, bold predict. I like this little addition this week. Bold prediction for the game this weekend.
You kind of took my bold prediction. I'm going to say that T.Y. Hilton does have a big game. So I'm going to go that he goes for over 100 yards. I was going to go 3 touchdowns, that's pushing. I'm going to go 100 over 100 yards.
Jonathan Taylor's going to get his.
Right. I'm going to go over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns for T.Y. Hilton this weekend. So you kind of took what it was, but hey, that's fine.
My bold prediction was T.Y. Hilton will be our Colts player of the game this weekend. Okay. That's the way I was going to go. So just to have fun, Kwity Paye scores a defensive touchdown this week. Kwity Paye picks up a ball, whether he makes that fumble, causes the fumble or not, he picks one up and puts it in the house. I'm not saying he's going to run far. This might happen. This might happen within the 5 to 10 yard line. Maybe a safety. Does that count as a defensive score for Kwity Paye? I will count that.
Sure.
Bold prediction for Matt. Darius punch out return for touchdown. How about? It's not even a bold prediction anymore just to say Darius is going to punch out another ball because that's just going to happen.
Every week.
At this point, if Darius Leonard doesn't punch one out, we're all going to be pissing and moaning.
He's so good at football, man. The peanut punch was a little bit before I was, deep into football, so I didn't really get to experience the Charles Tillman doing that. It's just absolutely incredible what Darius Leonard is able to do on a weekly basis and how accurate he is. It happens every week. Every single week he punches the ball out and gets a fumble. That's 5 of them this year. It's every other game.
He's got to be in the lead right now or top of the league for defensive player of the year. Has to be.
I'd say he's up there.
Who else?
You'd probably put Myles Garrett up there.
Myles Garrett, but they've been kind of sucking it up. Last year, it was like Minka Fitzpatrick, obviously, it felt like all year.
You could probably put TJ Watt up there. TJ Watt's having a good season. I mean, trying to think here. You could do Trayvon Diggs from Dallas with all the interceptions that he's had.
Just feels like everybody else has like had a hard, you know, hot start and has just kind of mellowed out. He has not mellowed out. He just hasn't.
It's kind of like the MVP race in that no one's really running away with it. So it's going to be interesting to see who comes out on top.
Oh my God. Wasn't in a top five defensive player of the year Twitter graphic you saw today. Quit following them, Matt. X Factor, Andrew. I'd have him pick X Factor.
Can you take a guess who it's going to be? I mean, my article came out today revealing my X Factor. It's T.Y. Hilton. Well, thanks. I appreciate all the support, brother. But no, T.Y. Hilton. I mean, I think if the Colts we know are going to run the ball. I mean, they're probably going to have success, but I think that T.Y. Hilton is just—it's his time. It's his time to have that one big game against Houston this year, and I expect it to be his biggest game of the year. So I'm going T.Y. Hilton.
I don't
having trouble there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of this. It feels like a T.Y. Hilton week for everybody. You know, like I don't know who else to say. Frank Reich. in his battle against the dumbasses on Twitter. I mean, like, I don't know. T.Y. Hilton just seems to be the answer this week. Maybe Carson Wentz. That seems lame. I don't know. I don't really have an outright X factor this week. I apologize.
Rocky Sin locking down Brandon Cooks. Can we see that?
I think he could. I don't see a problem with that.
I mean, the way Rock's been playing this year.
He's been playing well. You know what? Let's go with Rock. Bounce back after his first couple of pass interferences of the year. There we go. Rocky Sin. Prediction. I'll go first. Colts by a million.
You're finally bringing it out. It's been shelved for a couple weeks for you.
I did not feel good the last 2 weeks. I feel real good this week. 37-17. Colts.
Okay.
I don't know. 38. I don't know. I don't know what a good football number is for the high 30s.
Yeah, I'm going to Colts win easily again. I think the Colts are upset with how they performed and how they closed out that game against Tampa Bay, and I really think they want to have a good showing before their bye week. So I am going to go with the over. I'm going Colts 38.
I'm so glad we have a bye week.
It's needed. After 13 straight weeks, I think everybody needs a bye week. I'm going Colts 38, Texans 10.
I think that bye is so important going into a game against a very tough Patriots team. They look good. I mean, he's doing it again. The Terminator is not dead until the Terminator's dead. You know what I mean? So, you know what? I would hate to see Bill Belichick or Tom Brady in another Super Bowl, but, I mean, how can you shape it up any better than a Buccaneers-Patriots Super Bowl? How could it get any better than that? I don't think it can.
A Colts-Eagles Super Bowl? Carson Wentz versus the Eagles, Nick Sirianni versus the Colts?
That's great, but it's still not as good a TV as Tom Brady versus Bill Belichick. It's just not.
I'm over both of them. Yeah. So
we got to move it along.
Really want to do that.
So. All right, other Colts news. Injuries. Andrew, go.
All right, let's take a look under the hood. So a lot of guys were out on Wednesday, but a lot of them came back and practiced on Thursday. So since it's Thursday, we'll take a look at what happened today. DeForest Buckner with a knee and a foot. He hyperextended it. He was limited today. Shouldn't be a problem. He said he's going to play on Sunday. Jack Doyle was limited.
He went back out and played the rest of that football game. So
right. Jack Doyle limited with a knee. Ryan Kelly had a knee as well, but he was a full participant. Darius Leonard, ankle, wrist, what he's been dealing with all year. He was a full participant. Same with Quentin Nelson with his ankle injury. Anderson Dejo with a calf injury was limited. I mean, wouldn't be mad if he was kept out. But anyways, Eric Fisher has a knee as well. A lot of guys dealing with knees, but he was a full participant. And Rocky Sin was added to the injury report today with a groin issue. He was limited, so hopefully that's not too serious. So that way, like you said, Rock's been playing pretty well this year, so he can come in, and I think he can contribute pretty well on Sunday once again.
Running back, Jonathan Taylor named AFC Offensive Player of the Month, surprise, for November, 556 rushing yards, 71 receiving yards, and 9 total touchdowns. No surprise there. He's an absolute beast.
I think
look for him to be AFC offensive player in December.
I think this is the, I saw something today on Twitter where it's the first time that a Colts player has won offensive player of the month for two straight months since like Edgerrin James, maybe. And Peyton Manning never did it. Surprisingly, wow. I don't know how, but I think he only
won
it.
How do you win 75 MVPs and not pull off two AFC offensive players of the month?
I think he only did it one time. Like, I don't even think he had a year where he did it in multiple months. So that's pretty crazy. Obviously, I mean, this was an easy choice. Jonathan Taylor absolutely dominated all of November.
Yep. All right. Guess what? Since I was sick yesterday, we got to watch Hard Knocks last night and, well, today for me. And we're going to talk about it today. Makes more sense. Anyway, maybe we should just move to Thursdays, but we're not going to. Colts Hard Knocks episode three.
Three.
Good episode. Love the Kenny Moore stuff. Note number one, love the, as Matt said earlier, punch out segment for Darius. There's something else that stood out that I wanted to talk about, and I forget.
The Kenny Moore segment was fantastic. I mean, if you're a diehard Colts fan, you probably know that story about the relationship between Kenny Moore and the young kid Mason, who unfortunately passed away last year due to cancer. But if you're not a diehard Colts fan and you didn't know that story, I mean, that just kind of shows you the incredible person that Kenny Moore is. Not only is he an incredible Pro Bowl caliber player on the field, he is just a rock solid individual off the field. And to see him still have that relationship with that family, that's a bond that they're going to have for life. And it not only just with Kenny and the family, Kenny Moore's mom is also very close with the family. Those two families have really come together over that bond that Kenny Moore and Mason share. And I just, you can't say enough about the person that Kenny Moore is, and he embodies what you want on your football team. And everyone should strive to be more like Kenny Moore as an individual. And it was just outstanding show by HBO last night to kind of show that relationship and how it has continued, even though Mason unfortunately isn't with us.
What else did you like about that episode last night?
I liked the competition, between the defense, or not really the competition, but Matt Eberflus handing out the ball hawk shirts to the defense with that cool bald eagle on it. It was a pretty dope, and it's something that the Colts, it seems like the players really love. They love to get those shirts and they wear them around the facility.
I think Darius just likes to get those t-shirts I hand out.
He said he really liked the purple one, but I mean they're cool, and it's something that Eberflus has been doing since he got there in 2018. So that's kind of what this Hard Knocks has really been about.
That's the other thing that stood out to me, Matt. Thank you.
It hasn't been really like getting the backstory, the fringe roster players. It's been more showing what the guys do throughout the week. Yeah. And those little things that you might not think about, like the coaches, like Eberflus giving out those shirts or
positional
the guys
dinners.
Guys all going over to Grover Stewart's house for his finger licking chicken. It's just those things I think it's cool to have the fans get a peek behind the scenes.
Yeah, and I like that they're kind of rotating players and coaches and stuff each week because during normal Hard Knocks, I remember during the L.A. one, I mean, it was so much Anthony Lynn and Sean McVay and Jared Goff. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just so much of them constant. And they really are rotating players, it feels like, every single week, so they don't have somebody in their house all week, every week during the season, you know, different stuff like that. Matt brings up the Quentin Nelson thing. I think he's referring to Quentin. They had him mic'd. Quentin going over to Reich and saying, can we get a straight run play for JT this next round? I can feel it. Like, trust us. Let's go. And that's what you had said. Like, I wish we would have gotten a few more just straight run plays called here and there throughout that game. And when it did, it paid off. Keep in mind, you know, we softened up that secondary the whole day by the time that drive happened. But right. I'm sure that's what Matt's referring to when he said that Nelson set off Colts Twitter.
Yeah, and going to that point. Bruce Arians even said they didn't expect them to run the ball late in the game like they did. So it was cool to see, because you don't, I mean, when you think of Quentin Nelson, you think of a guy who doesn't really say much. He's an absolute Hulk-like figure for this Colts team. But this kind of showed the leadership that Quentin Nelson has developed. I mean, he's no more just the guy that goes out there and throws defenders around. He's actually got a voice within this Colts locker room. He went up to Frank Reich, comfortable enough to say, like, hey, we got to do this. Then he goes over to JT and he said, I told Coach that we're putting the ball in your hands. We trust you. You're hot. Let's go. We trust in you. And then as he comes off the field, goes back over to Reich and he says, like, thank you. Like, good job. Great decisions. We're seeing
it's exactly how he said it too.
Yeah, you get it. You're the vocal side of Quentin Nelson and his leadership qualities coming on display, and it was pretty cool to see.
It was a lot of fun. He came off this field with some colorful language saying, that's what happened. You know, thank you for effing trusting us, basically, is what he said. That's what happens when you trust us. It was awesome. And I must have missed the part where he went over to Taylor. You and Matt both talked about it, but yeah, it was a good episode. I had the kids running around upstairs, and it was hard to pay attention today. But Paige is really enjoying it. She's starting to recognize certain Colts players that, like Kenny Moore, like without his number and his name on his bet. You know what I mean? I'm really proud of that. I'm really enjoying that a lot.
Last night was the first episode Danny watched, and the main thing she took away from it was Brian Baker constantly saying frickin'. She's like, why does he keep saying that?
Dude, that was so funny. We were all laughing.
Over and over and
I said
over.
Frickin' 75 times. Someone on Twitter said that the Quentin thing shows that Reich is losing the locker room. Hey, man. No, he's not.
No, those guys would go to war for Frank Reich.
One of those guys that a GM eventually has to make a decision to fire him, and the GM loses the locker room. I mean,
Frank Reich is in zero hot water. He is in no position to lose his job. He just signed an extension. Frank Reich's going to be here for quite some time.
Yeah, I mean, something this year would have to go real bad. Real bad.
Right.
Pete Carroll, hot seat. This week, if they lose, Pete Carroll, hot seat. Russell Wilson's gone next year, by the way.
Guaranteed. I don't think Pete Carroll's on the hot seat, but, I mean, when we talk about the Seahawks, I'll kind of give my opinions, but I don't think number three will be behind center next year.
Absolutely not. All right. Week 12, Sunday night, Monday night games, and then we're going to move into week 13 picks. Week 12, Ravens, 16, Browns, 10. What a shit game. I mean, I didn't watch it. I could literally just tell by paying attention to Twitter a little bit that game sucked.
Yeah, not great. I mean, I turned it on for a little bit. Definitely didn't keep my attention. I fell asleep in the fourth quarter. Just not a good game at all. But hey, the Ravens did win, which helped out the Colts. And as far as the playoff chase goes, so hey, I was all for a Ravens W.
Washington 17, Seahawks 15. Washington getting it together. I do not think that the Dallas Cowboys have the NFC East locked up. I do not think they do.
Washington's below 500, and right now they have the last playoff spot in the NFC, which is just kind of wild. But
the NFC only has, what was it, three teams with a winning record? Something stupid, ridiculous, bad.
I think it's five.
It's a low amount of teams.
Five or six, but yeah, you're absolutely right. And I mean, hey, it's not good up in Seattle. I mean, Russell Wilson still doesn't look right. DK Metcalf didn't get a single target until like the 2 minute warning or that last 2 minute drive. I think that marriage is coming to an end. I think Russell Wilson wants out. I think maybe he's going to end up in New Orleans next year. I could very well see. And
ooh,
I don't think Pete Carroll necessarily is on the hot seat, but I don't think that him and Russell Wilson, I just don't think that
he's not sitting on ice
to work out. No.
I forget. Oh, yeah. My boss asked me, he said, on Monday, he was like, who you got tonight? And I said, Seahawks with ease. I said, Russ is going off tonight. I was very wrong. I was very, very wrong. I thought that was the comeback game. It was not. All right, let's get into week 13 picks. Andrew, would you like to update the listeners on the pick'em standings?
Yeah, not a good week for me. Definitely not a good week. Brandon Tyree takes the lead.
I was down two games.
Yeah, you were only down two. Took a three game stab at me, but hey, it's only week 13. Still plenty of time, and you're at 108-71. I'm at 107-72. Both 60% on the year. So let's get to these picks.
All right, Cowboys Saints. It's still 0-0. Andrew, apparently. Over 50%, barely, but over 50% of the fans are on the Saints. I'm going Cowboys.
I'm going Cowboys as well. Taysom Hill starting at quarterback. That's all you need to tell me to make me pick the Cowboys. So now is CeeDee Lamb playing? Because yes. I started him in two of my fantasy leagues. And I was like, okay.
He was supposed to. So Amari Cooper too. I started Cooper this week as well. So hopefully, fingers crossed. Dude, I was one Terry McLaurin catch away from going 3-0 in fantasy this week. It was ridiculous. Buccaneers at Falcons, Andrew.
Yeah, you're not going to catch me alive picking the Falcons this week. I'm going Tampa Bay very easily.
Yeah, Tampa Bay is my pick as well. Cardinals at Bears. I cannot believe how evenly this game is split. 66.33%. Cardinals are going to win this football game. And Kyler Murray should be playing after that bye week. He was questionable the last game they played. So,
I mean, Kyler Murray, Colt McCoy, the Colts mascot. I really don't care. Cardinals are going to mollywop the Bears.
Mascot, multiple time mascot of the year.
People forget.
Cardinals easy. L.A. at Bengals. Chargers. L.A. Chargers.
The people are on the Chargers.
People are on.
I'm on the Bengals. Yeah. I think smoking Joe Burrow is going to come out there. The Chargers are so up and down. Their defense hasn't been great.
And the Bengals just mollywopped the shit out of the Steelers.
They really did. So I think Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins are going to have a big game. Joe Mixon could go off as well. The Chargers did not look good on defense. Did they play Minnesota last week? I thought they played Minnesota. No, Minnesota played the 49ers. I forget who Chargers played. But anyways, I'm going Bengals.
Yeah, Bengals. I'm with the Bengals. Minnesota at Detroit. I don't think this one's tough. Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota. I mean, I'm off the Detroit bandwagon. I keep picking them thinking, hey, they're going to get their first win.
I'm off the bandwagon for the team that hasn't won a single game.
The bandwagon of cheering for them and hoping they get their first win. Well, they screwed up my parlay last week, so I'm going with the Vikings.
You bet on them, you psychopath? What is wrong with you?
Technically, they didn't. The Bears did, because I had Bears -2.5, and the Bears won by two.
All right, you get it. Giants at Dolphins. I'm heavy Dolphins this week.
I am as well. I mean, I've just lost complete faith in the Giants and what they're able to do. And the Dolphins have some momentum. Tua's looked pretty good the past couple of games. I don't think the Giants' defense is going to be any match for that Dolphins offense right now.
Eagles at Jets. I didn't like the spread. The spread was scary, but I'm going Eagles.
I am as well. We're rolling right along.
Yeah, I think we got a couple coming up here that might be different.
The Jets just aren't. They just aren't it. I don't care if Zach Wilson's back there. They did get the W last week, but the Eagles are a considerably better football team.
We both picked the Colts this week. Obvious. There's 21% of the people on this app are absolutely pop-tarted. Okay,
they're Titans fans.
Yeah, pop-tarts. Washington football team at Las Vegas Raiders.
I want the Washington football team to win, but I'm going to go with the Raiders. I think the Raiders are riding high after that big win over the Cowboys. And I think behind Josh Jacobs, I think they are going to, I don't think Derek Carr will have necessarily a big game, but I think Josh Jacobs will have a pretty big game and they'll beat the Washington football team.
I'm scared that the Raiders have to acknowledge what the Washington football team has done. But I'm one of the 14.4% riding the Washington football team this week. All right. There's upset number one that I'm a big fan of. Jacksonville Jaguars at LA Rams. Jalen Ramsey's going to score a touchdown on the way to an easy Rams victory.
I mean, this is a
slump. This is a slump busting game.
Wouldn't it be something if Trevor Lawrence just goes out there and absolutely dominates Jalen Ramsey, who forced his way out of Jacksonville? I don't see it happening. I think the Rams will win pretty easily.
Here's a surpriser. The public's on the Steelers here, but I'm going. I mean, the Steelers fan base is so big. I'm going Ravens.
I'm going to go Ravens as well. I mean, this game is going to be close. I don't care what their records are, how their teams are. Baltimore at Pittsburgh is always an absolute dogfight. So, but I am going to go with the Ravens to squeak one out.
And 49ers at Seahawks.
The public is all on the Seahawks. I'm on the 49ers. Debo Samuel is out, unfortunately. So that will definitely change what the 49ers do on offense. But I think Brandon Ayuk is poised for a pretty big game. And the Seahawks have not shown me that they can beat anybody since Russell Wilson came back. I don't even know how Russell Wilson's going to do against that pass rush the 49ers have. So I'm going to go 49ers.
Broncos at Chiefs.
The public is all on the Chiefs.
By the way, I'm the 49ers. I don't think I picked 49ers.
94%. I'm going Chiefs. Colts need the Chiefs to win as well. The Broncos are ahead of them in the playoff standings right now. So Chiefs victory would be good for Indianapolis.
Yeah, Chiefs easy. Next one, Andrew. Here's my other upset. Here's another one where I gained some on the public. The Patriots are going to go to Buffalo, and they're going to win this football game. I'm telling you right now. Patriots.
Yeah, I'm going Patriots as well. Now we got to mark it as explicit. Good job. But hey, the Bills, the Patriots are just on a roll, and I don't see that. I don't see the Patriots really stopping. Yeah, I know they're in Buffalo. No, it's a tough environment, but the Patriots rather have seen what the Colts did to Josh Allen and this Buffalo's offense, how they slowed them down.
Yeah.
And I think Bill Belichick
is going to make them look dumb.
Bill Belichick's going to take that and really have fun with that. So until Mac Jones cools off, I'm going Patriots. Well, except in a few weeks when they play the Colts.
Patriots 27, Bills 24.
I've got Patriots 27, Bills 20.
49ers 27, Seahawks 17.
San Francisco 33, Seahawks 17.
Wow. Indianapolis, most points this week?
Indianapolis, most points.
Jacksonville, least points?
Chicago,
least points. Oh, that was close.
Against the Eagles.
Man, we were really on something right there. All right, what's next? News around the league, Andrew. Looks like the Panthers are placing running back Christian McCaffrey on IR due to an ankle injury ending a season.
Second time he's been on IR this year, so that ends his season automatically. Man, Christian McCaffrey, he seems like the past couple years now, he's just been injured.
Get that poor guy out of there.
After injury. And I mean, it's like people, I feel bad for people that keep picking him first overall in their fantasy teams because they
people
just
are dumb.
Screwed. So
stop doing that. Yeah. I mean, what else do you got to be told? It's becoming quite obvious.
When are we going to put the injury prone label on Christian McCaffrey? Is it there already?
Last year. I mean, what do you mean? Of course. Yeah. So I wouldn't have drafted him first this year in a million years. Jonathan Taylor. And I'd have been
Jonathan
right.
Taylor and will I'd have been be right. probably.
I just want people to know. I just I saw a thing on Instagram year. The other day, something about like these play, you know, these number one draft picks overall, blah, blah, blah. Jonathan Taylor. So I'm doing just fine. I'm happy. Go follow us again on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at a Colts podcast. Say hello. Look at Matt. What are we doing here?
Matt is bringing up another little bit of news that came out today. Antonio Brown and two other players were suspended for 3 games for violating COVID protocols and basically providing fake information to the league. I was busy this afternoon and forgot to put that in the outline, but so they'll be suspended for 3 games because of that. And not good for them trying to fake their vaccination cards and try to get away with it.
Unbelievable. Who would do such a thing? Antonio Brown. I mean, like if I told you, I said, hey, Andrew, pick one player in this entire league that faked their vaccination status. Who would you pick?
Antonio Brown. You know my feelings on Antonio Brown, especially when everyone was claiming, hey, Colts should get him. Well, I don't know about that. And turns out, hey, I was right. What do you know?
I guess so. Hey, big game kind of this weekend. So you know what we said. Go Colts.
Go Colts. Win in Tennessee. Houston, you get it.
You get it.
Let this moment become a cherished memory. And then remember, a legacy is only worthwhile when there is a future to fuel. God bless you, and God bless football.